Good morning. Welcome to Your Health. Today we're going to talk about patient advocacy and patient rights and what's going on at Columbia Memorial Hospital. We have a full house today. I have Cindy Nemlowell, who is a registered nurse at the hospital. Good morning.
Good morning.
And Judy Coleman, who is the chair of the Patient Family Advisory Committee at the hospital. Good morning.
Good morning, Ann.
And Stephanie Meadows, who is a plane tree coordinator at Columbia Memorial Hospital.
Hello.
Hi. All right. Oh, we all sound equal, so that's good. All right. So we thought it would be a great idea to talk about what's going on at the hospital and the changes. I think a lot of people don't really realize that there's a lot of stuff going on, stuff with people who are not hospital employees who are involved with things going on there. And there's a lot of community involvement in all kinds of departments. So let's start with Judy.
Good. I'm glad to talk about it. In 2011, late 2011, Columbia Memorial Hospital was applying for a designation from the Plane Tree Council. Plane Tree is very patient-centered, care-oriented, and that's important. And one of the things they required was a Patient Family Advisory Council to be formed. Letters were sent out, and I happened to get one of those letters because it was sent out to patients that and family and caregivers for previous 2 years. So when they sent the letters out, we attended the meetings, and they explained to us what they were going to do. They were going to have a patient advisory council, and we wanted to hear patient input on anything and everything to do with the hospital. So it was formed in January of 2012, and one of the things, I think we had 15 members at that time, and one of the things that we all wanted to do was to make sure the hospital was going to listen to any suggestions we had for improvement, for looking at things through a patient's eyes. The first thing we had to do was learn Plane Tree and what it stood for. Plane Tree is really important. It was formed by a woman that wanted to improve hospital care as she had been a patient in a hospital and felt she wasn't treated right. So one of the things we started was looking at the billing situation and wanted one bill, one statement, one account number. One of the other things we looked at was patient advocacy. And the reason we looked at patient advocacy is everything that we discussed of things of how we could make little improvements here and there for the patient was we thought if a person was able to talk to that patient that was a volunteer that wasn't part of the hospital, they weren't apt to be afraid to tell them anything that they wanted, anything that they needed. A lot of times you are kind of intimidated by doctors and nurses when you're a patient at a hospital. So the patient, we requested from the hospital that they start this volunteer patient advocacy program. The very next year, the hospital approved it. So see, they do listen to us.
Mm-hmm.
Then I'm going to let Cindy talk a little bit about it because Cindy was put in charge of the patient advocacy program through Plane Tree, which is Stephanie's department. But let's let Cindy talk a little bit. We gave her some guidelines of what we'd like to see in patient advocacy, and she started in.
So last February, I was asked to start this patient advocacy program and worked with Laura Ladig, our volunteer coordinator, to develop a program. Stephanie and Laura and Pastor Stomp and I actually had our first class the end of February. And we've trained, I think we've had about 20 people go through our training.
Were you able to find a program from some other facility that you were able to say, oh, here's the how to do it, or did you have to just make it up?
Well, I did a lot of research and looked at other programs, talked to Plane Tree. We actually have a whole Plane Tree community where we can get information. So utilized a lot of different resources and then looked at what our community needs and created a program. I did take a lot of our guidelines from the University of San Diego. They have actually a very
University of California,
yeah,
San Diego.
Yes, and mm-hmm. they have a very good program down there. So I thought their guidelines were very good. And then we also really did some work with presence, just being with people and listening, because that seems to be something that everybody really needs more of these days.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, not just hospitalized patients, but they certainly do need it.
Right.
But yeah. Yeah, I mean, people come in and do stuff to them,
mm-hmm.
and not very many people are listening to them.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, and so the program's been going on since February. February this year? February last year?
February last year, 2013.
Okay, all right.
Already we think it's working wonderful. The Patient Family Advisory Committee, which we call PFAC, by the way. if I slip and say PFAC, you'll understand why. They check in every once in a while. We attend her training sessions and see if they're meeting what we think that patient really needs for this community. Mm-hmm. This community is quite large. The hospital actually serves a large area. Personally, myself, I'm from across the river, mm-hmm. and you have a lot of people clear from Seaside, clear Napa. It's a large area. And so we try to, on the council, we try to represent patients from all over this area and the different departments in the hospital that they have either been a patient or that they've had a caregiver or a family member there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Is there membership to the PFAC open? Are there openings or is it full now?
We always want people to apply. Always.
Mm-hmm.
Volunteers are sometimes hard to come by, and we need volunteers always.
Well, and pretty much in the world, the same people do everything. So they're probably already involved. Although, if there's someone listening to this who's not and thinks, that sounds cool, mm-hmm. Who would they get in touch with? Would that be Stephanie?
That would be the Stephanie or Cindy. Stephanie, the plant tree coordinator, just call the hospital switchboard. Tell them you're interested in being either a patient advocate or you want to be a member of the patient family advisory council.
Mm-hmm.
And they will give you, make sure you have forms to fill out and submit to us. And then we review it. In ours, we review, and I think the patient advocacy program does too. I don't want to really speak for it. But we review the membership and bring them in and talk to them and explain Plaintree.
Mm-hmm.
Plaintree has 10 components, and Stephanie does training in that for all people coming in. We keep mentioning Plaintree, and because it's very important, Plaintree is the patient-centered. They're totally for that patient and patient-centered care. Everything revolves around the patient.
All right. Stephanie, can you talk about these 10 things?
Yeah. So the idea, as Judy said, the idea of Plaintree is to be surrounded around one patient. We realize that not every person is the same and they don't all require the same sort of care. But yeah, 10 components of Plaintree. One of them, the first is human interactions, dignity, and choice. And that is where our Patient Family Advisory Council came into play, is that we realized as a Plaintree hospital, we need this sort of focus group to be able to bounce ideas off of, to be able to go to them and say, hey, we're thinking about doing this. What do you think? How would that affect you if you were in the hospital or you had a loved one in the hospital? Access to information and education is another component of Plaintree. We believe that as a patient or a family member, you need to know everything there is to know. Say you were diagnosed with diabetes. You know, you can't just tell somebody you have diabetes and send them out the door and not tell them how they need to care about themselves without expecting them to come back very soon.
Right.
Healing environments.
Well, there's other things. There are now computers in the rooms, that mm-hmm. right? And patients have access to look up their records,
yes.
right? And
yes.
also to, they can go online and read about what's wrong with them, and they can say, oh, wait a minute, there's this other thing over here. There's a new thing. Are you guys doing the new thing?
Yeah, we have a health information library in the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, open charts and open medical records is a very important part of Plaintree.
Plus this fall, Anne, they're going to start in what they call a patient portal, where anyone can go online at any time and see all their records, their doctor records, their hospital records. Am I right, Steph? You want to elaborate a little bit on that?
I think that where we're going to focus to start, and I'm not entirely sure about this, but I think that the focus to start is going to be able to access your medical bills. And then I don't know about the medical record piece, very much. I know only as much as you do from sitting in those meetings.
So let's keep going on the plane tree principles.
Mm-hmm.
Next.
So where am I? Food and the nurturing aspects of food is a component. A lot of people actually leave the hospital malnourished, you know, because they go to the hospital and they're eating food that they're not familiar with. And so one of the components of Plane Tree is just to make sure that people are getting the food that they're used to and the food that they need.
Actually, the food that they're used to may not be be the opposite of the food they need.
Yeah.
And they may be unhappy with the change, but they may not be.
And just and then that's where the education piece comes in to, you know, teach people about that.
Okay.
And if any of you have been to Columbia Memorial lately, you'll notice that the environment has changed. And there's a big push to have a healing environment that's more home-like to make the patient and the family feel more comfortable while they're there.
So you know, one of the things about the hospital is it doesn't smell like a hospital. It just smells like a clean place. And that I was thinking about that last week when I was there, that it just smells nice. And there's that alcove with all the books and the library and the computer and the little kitchen and the bathroom. That's and then the garden right out there. It's a very nice place.
Healing Garden is beautiful, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's very homey. It's small town. It reminds me of small town, and I love it. That's what I love about Astoria.
Yeah. So we have all of those things that Anne was just saying, and we work really hard to just try to make the hospital more comfortable for people. And you know, you're not going to go into Columbia Memorial, certainly, and sit as a patient and look at four blank white walls. You know, that's not how it is anymore. Another aspect of just creating a healing environment is to work arts and entertainment into the environment. So we work really hard with local artists to try to bring art in that will be soothing for the patient. Frequently we have the local high schools come in and they'll sing or, you know, play instruments in the lobbies to try to entertain people. We have some pianists who volunteer regularly, and so just those sorts of things we do.
If I might interject here too, that everything that the Plane Tree coordinator does and gets put into the hospital is usually brought before the Patient Family Advisory Council for our ideas and input on it, even to the decor when they were repainting the rooms. Everything was brought in and talked, and there are 15 members, and all of them contributed to how the hospital looks now.
Yeah. So the fifth component of Plane Tree is human touch. And, I mean, it seems like such a basic thing that, you know, when you go into the hospital that somebody should touch you, either they're touching your shoulder or touching your hand or even to offer a massage. But sometimes, a lot of times in caregiving, that piece gets lost, you know, especially as we get more and more technologically advanced. And I know Cindy's working really hard on that and just helping our caregivers to remember that they do have time for it, and, you know.
Yes, we have a massage therapist that works 20 hours a week, and we try to offer any patient that's in the hospital a massage. But also, we've been working with our staff, having the massage therapist just kind of talk to them about ways that they can interject a little massage or a little more touch. Because, you know, it's nowadays, with all of our technology that's available to us, we don't have to touch people as much, and it is very healing just to have somebody come in and touch you on the shoulder or give you a little back rub, and those are the kind of things that we really work on making special while you're in the hospital.
From a patient's viewpoint, I think it's really important. Touch is one of my favorite of the components because it puts that personal thing into a cold hospital. We used to go into a hospital and it was cold and you were treated like you were a thing. Now, and instead of working on the patient or for the patient, the philosophy for Plane Tree is work with the patient.
Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll talk more. You're listening to Your Health. We'll be right back. And if you want to join the conversation, give a call at 503-325-0010.
y la tarde, miro y miro para allá.
We're back. If you're just joining us, you're listening to Your Health, and I am with three people. I'm with Cindy Nemlowell, a registered nurse at Columbia Memorial Hospital, Judy Coleman, the chair of the Patient and Family Advisory Council at the hospital, and Stephanie Meadows, the Plane Tree Coordinator. Okay, Stephanie, so we're on, I think, number six?
Yeah, something like that.
Or seven, maybe.
So, family, friends, and social support is, I think, one of the most important components of Plane Tree.
Mm-hmm.
Just making sure that it is, that the patient is able to have that support while they're in the hospital that they need. And actually, our patient advocacy program plays in nicely with that.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have visiting hours at the hospital. As long as a patient is feeling well enough to receive visitors, they can receive visitors at any time of the day or night.
And it doesn't just have to be your spouse.
And it doesn't just have to be your spouse.
Yeah. It's nice to have kids come.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times it's grandkids.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes great-grandkids. Of course, they don't have to be children. I mean, they could be adults as well. It's great. So you can have a whole group.
Yes. Yes. And then we also, as part of that, we also offer what we call our care partner program, where you have a significant other, whether it be a spouse or a friend, a neighbor, whomever, can come into the hospital with you and really be a part of that healing experience and those conversations that you would have with your doctor. And you can choose to have them be a part of that or not be a part of that, but just to have a second set of ears or even somebody who you can ask to go grab a blanket for you if you need. Because a lot of times the patients will sit in the hospital and they'll feel maybe that the nurse is too busy to go get their blanket. They're cold, but they don't want to bother anyone. And mm-hmm. so if they've got their care partner and the care partner has been oriented to the hospital, then that's really nice for them to be able to ask somebody to kind of go do those things.
It's really, that's a very important part of our advocacy program too, because a lot of times when you're in the hospital, all this information that you're getting is just overwhelming. And to have somebody sitting with you that loves you and is able to hear things from an objective standpoint is so helpful, mm-hmm. because they can remember the things that you need to remember.
And also they can serve as an advocate. Mm-hmm. They're there for you. They're not there for anyone else but you.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Healthy communities is another one of the components of Plane Tree. And so what that means is that we do things like this. We come and we talk to you and to educate mm-hmm. the community about what we can offer at the hospital. We do lots of community education programs to teach people about maybe their chronic illness that they suffer from.
Or exercise or Tai Chi or
exactly.
whatever.
We had our heart health fair in the spring, or in February, I guess, and that was a big success. We did free screenings. It was really wonderful. And the last two components of Plane Tree are complementary therapies and spirituality, and I'm going to let Cindy talk a little bit about those.
Well, we just actually had a very exciting community education program called Healthcare from the Heart, where we talked about that, and we're actually working on expanding our integrative therapies. But the thing that's most important is to get feedback from our community about what they want. So that's kind of where we're at.
So if you're thinking about imagining the next time you might be in the hospital, what kind of services would you want?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Or even from an outpatient basis.
Ah, okay.
That's part of the whole mm-hmm. thing that we're growing in that mm-hmm. perspective, too.
Mm-hmm. So in complementary, was that the term that is
right.
used, complementary? So that encompasses what I do, but I mean, that's mm-hmm. a huge, it includes using herbs, it includes
The thing that we use a lot is aromatherapy, and we add that to any massage and use that just for relaxation and anxiety. And in fact, Angela Sidlow has been going around to our employees even and offering some aromatherapy and reflexology, a traveling spa is what we're calling it, so that, you know, as we care for our caregivers, they are more relaxed in caring for our patients.
You know, there at that change of shift time, it is wild in there, and I see the stress levels go up. it's probably not the time when you could have any kind of massage or reflexology, but there definitely are times where it's pretty wild in there.
Yes.
And getting the staff getting through that is a challenge.
It takes a special person, I think, to be a patient advocate. I think you have to be a very caring person that wants to help your community and wants to help the ill, that just wants to be there for somebody that might need help.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up. So let's talk about what a patient advocate is, because a patient advocate can look like a lot of things. I mean, I'm a patient advocate at the hospital, and I have my background as a doctor, which puts me in a different place. But a patient advocate doesn't have to have any medical background. They just have to have compassion, empathy, be willing to be a listener. And a lot of times, that's all people want. Some people want information, but some people, I mean, I go in and they'll want to tell me their life story. And they don't start out that way. They start out like, what are you doing here? Uh-huh. What do you want? Well, another person who wants to bother me. And then when they find out I'm not there to bother them, then they want to talk.
And they know you're not hospital staff. I think that makes a difference too, Anne, don't you? That you're a volunteer that they can talk freely to.
Well, also they know that I don't have anything else to do.
Yes.
You know, exactly. I'm there for them. So I don't have a list of other patients to do. I don't have to look up labs. I don't have to coordinate care with somebody else. Work with the social worker to help them get to wherever they have to get, you know, all those things. I don't have to do any of that. I'm just there for them.
You know, the storytelling, Cindy was, but just recently too, one of her things that she attends was on storytelling, being able to sit and listen to patients tell their story of their life. That nurses don't have time to do that. So you become more human when you can sit and tell a patient advocate volunteer, your life story. And maybe there are several things that patient advocate might relay on to the nurses' station that would be helpful in the treatment of that patient.
Every week, absolutely.
Yes.
It's
such a nice bridge between the patient and the caregivers at the hospital. Because a lot of times we don't know what people are laying there worrying about. Sometimes they're worried that their dog's not being taken care of, or sometimes they're worried about that they're going to die, you know, and they need somebody just to talk about their worries so that they can use their energy on healing.
Sometimes they're worried about their family. It's interesting. They're in terrible shape, but they're more worried about the people that aren't in the hospital.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Exactly. That's really looking through a patient's eyes. Most of the time, your caregiver is more concerned and more involved in it, really. So, yes, I think that's really important.
How can I've had several people say, how can I be in the hospital and not have it be a violation of HIPAA?
Well, that's you go through your volunteer training. Anybody who volunteers at the hospital goes through a pretty rigorous training process, and where they're taught about HIPAA and the rules of privacy, and then they sign a privacy agreement where, you know, anything that you go into the hospital, and if you see somebody you know, you're not to talk about it, or even if you see somebody you don't know. But when you go through your volunteer training, you learn all about that and how to respect those rules. And
one thing they say in the volunteer training too is that it's not just what you say. When you even leave a room, you don't even recognize anyone again after that. You don't look at them and say, oh, hi, I remember you from the hospital. Never. No, you don't. It's very confidential. Everything is kept quiet.
Well, it's certainly every week I run into people that I know. I mean, I suppose that happens to everyone. We're in a small community. And they're like, oh, I mean, they seem, you know, most people seem pretty delighted to see me if they, you know, if they're with it. And it's fun to have a different hat to wear, you know, to be in a different environment. And I wanted to talk about patient advocacy for not the patient, for the patient's family. Sometimes I find the patient is out of it. The patient's sleeping or the patient is too ill to really communicate with the advocate or really with anyone. The family needs information. The family's concerned about how are the tests. The family's concerned about where's the doctor. The family's concerned about whatever they're concerned about. Where are we taking this person afterwards? And they need help. I helped a person navigate how to get health insurance who was in the CCU. The wife had no idea. They couldn't. He was hospitalized because they had no health insurance, and his problem became acute, and put them there where he could have probably managed this easily if they'd had a way to pay for it, which they didn't. And so I helped them. And so it isn't always the expected thing that people need.
It's pretty common. Like the example, they always have brochures all throughout the hospital, but not everybody picks up that brochure.
Well, they're too stressed out to even notice
them. Right. And that's why that's where the patient advocate comes in, Anne. That's exactly why we wanted to see a patient advocacy program put into the hospital. Mm-hmm. It's still at this beginning stages, technically. You know, it's only been in operation a short time. We want to see that expanded and grow. And I think it will. It's getting its feet now and really getting going.
Well, and now it's getting its own manual. One of the one of the advocates, Helen, is putting together a manual, which is going to be greatly helpful for people to like get oriented. What do I do? I mean, you walk into a room, you know, and you introduce yourself, and then what? You know. Hi. I'm here. Great. Get out of here. I don't want you here.
And speaking of patient families, sometimes it's the patient family needs a rest if they've been caregiving at home. So that's something that we actually always need to take into consideration. The advocates can help us with that, with even being an advocate for the patient and maybe staying with the patient for a little while a patient's family goes home and rests and gives them a little break.
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Right. Sometimes what we'll do is we'll sit with the patient and they'll and the family will go take a walk or go get something to eat and leave for a while. A lot of times there's enough family where they do that for themselves. They spell each other. But then there's a point where, okay, the last person's still there and they need to get out. So, Stephanie, how do you see this thing in, you know, over the next few years going?
Well, that's all up to Judy, right? As our patient family advisory council leader.
We keep pushing, Anne. We keep pushing. I'd like to see it expanded into the cancer center. I think it's...
Oh, advocates over there?
Yes, advocates in the...
Well, it'd be easy enough if there's enough. Somebody could just walk over there.
But we need some. That's it. If there's enough. If there's enough, please, please volunteer people. It's so important. It's just so important.
So what do you see as the most important thing that an advocate can do for a sick person?
I really think that the touch and somebody's caring. You know somebody personally cares about your personal issue. You're not just another person in that hospital, whether it's lab, cancer center, heart center, or as an inpatient for surgery or an outpatient for surgery. You need someone to think you're a person. You're a person when you walk in that door. That patient advocate does it. They make sure you know that the hospital knows you're a person.
And your needs are going to get attended to.
Yes.
That's great. Well, thank you all for coming. This has been fun. This program will be available as a podcast at coastradio.org shortly, as all public affairs programs on KMUN are. My guests have been Cindy Nemowell, registered nurse at the hospital and coordinator of many things, including the patient advocacy program. Judy Coleman, the chair of the PFAC, the Patient and Family Centered, Council of the Columbia Memorial
That's
Hospital.
That's CYSA PFAC.
Yes, definitely PFAC, but I don't want to use an acronym. And Stephanie Meadows, the Plaintree Coordinator from Columbia Memorial Hospital. Thank you all for joining me.
Thank you for having us, Anne.
Thank you. Yeah.